This is the Paper Planes podcast, where we take a deep dive into some of the week's most notable business and marketing stories and interview high-performing business leaders and marketing professionals to find out their lessons for success.
A really good marketing tool now to also go, okay, I didn't like that, so I'm just going to quickly jump on Instagram and I'm actually going to do a story and explain how to use that part of the app. They already trust you. You've already got a little bit of a relationship with them. So I think it's much easier to try and sell to someone that's using a product of yours already.
Welcome to episode number 76 of the Paper Planes podcast with me, Simon Dell. If this is your first time here, then welcome. There are 75 other episodes for you to go back and listen to after this one. I don't expect you to go and listen to all 75 of them. Maybe about 50 or 60. But there's some fantastic episodes that I think have been really helpful to me in business, getting the opportunity to interview and ask questions to the people that I've spoken to in the last couple of years. Today, though, we have a lady on the show by the name of Yvette Sitters, and she is the founder of an app called Manage My Wedding. Now, if you go to managemywedding.com, you can see her online bridal store there. But if you go to the App Store on your iPhone or Samsung, whatever it is that Samsung have these days, and type in Manage My Wedding, you'll also find her app. It is designed, believe it or not, with a name called Manage My Wedding for people who want to manage their wedding. Drum roll. Yes, it's a productivity app to help people plan that big day. Now, the reason we're talking to Yvette today is not only is it obviously a great idea and it's her own business and she's built it from scratch, etc., etc., but it's also happens to be number one in the iTunes App Store for its particular category. So we wanted to get Yvette on to understand how she managed to do that and the tricks of actually getting that done, how she built an app from scratch, how she monetized it, all those kind of bits and pieces. So I think you'll enjoy listening to her. She has got some great tips if you are building an app or if you are interested in e-commerce or developing an e-commerce business. She's well worth listening to you. Now, before we jump into that, I'll do the usual intro bits and pieces. Number one, rate and review us on iTunes. Number two, talk to Gilberto. He is the man behind the audio of this. www.thepodcastboss.com. Number three, come and talk to me or Matt. We run a digital marketing consultancy called Paper Planes, hence the name of the podcast. Our website is flyatpaperplanes.co. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on LinkedIn. You can find us on Facebook, or you can email us at hello@flypaperplanes.co. And pretty much that is it. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So without further ado, let us jump in to listen to what Yvette Sitters from Manage My Wedding has to say. Welcome to the Paper Planes podcast, Yvette Sitters. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you, Simon.
Now, thank you very much for joining me on the show today. For everybody's benefit out there, just let's tell everyone who you are and what you do.
So who I am, obviously, Yvette Sitters. I am a mother of two young children, and I have a wedding planning business, which is around wedding planning app for bride and grooms to plan their perfect dream day. And I have an online wedding store as well. So that's currently what I'm doing right now.
Okay. So the, and it's called managemywedding.com, which, people would have heard in the introduction, but let's just push it one more time. Yeah. I guess looking at the background of your history, you know, event manager, sales manager, event manager, you kind of know events, don't you? That's kind of your background.
Yes. So I have been working for over 20 years in the events area and hotels also. I've ventured out a little bit here and there out of events, but I've always been drawn back into it. So that's where my passion and sort of my love is. Right. And the wedding is something that that was probably my very, very first events job, really, when I was straight out of uni.
Right.
And I always enjoyed that. I've done many other events, but the wedding industry is huge. Yes. There's so much that you could do, and it's something that I really love.
And you say you've been doing this for 20 years, and for anyone that looks you up on LinkedIn, you look like you got out of university last week. So I was sitting there going, how is she so young and looking at all these things about weddings and stuff like this? But just revealed your age there on the podcast, or roughly your age. So I guess the idea for the business is fairly self-explanatory, but what sort of, you know, because you had a history in events and weddings, planning and blah, blah, blah. Where was the trigger when you said, you know what, bugger working for everybody else, I'm going to do this myself?
Yes. So that was a significant trigger for me. I always loved working. I started work when I was 11 years old, cleaning shelves at a pharmacy in Palm Beach on the Gold Coast, and illegally, of course. and I, from then on, always had lots of jobs. So I always wanted to work as much as I could. I always took on work like it was my own business. So when I had my first child, I realized, why am I doing this? I'm working 70-hour weeks minimum for somebody else. And that just didn't really make sense to kind of do anymore. But I loved working. I wasn't a very good stay-at-home mum. I was a good mum. Let's just get that right. But I wasn't very good at just being at home, and I was bored crazy. So I started to develop and design on a scrap piece of paper a wedding planning app, because I was constantly organising weddings for family and friends for free, as you do.
Yeah.
And it was becoming more regular, and I would charge someone here and there. And I thought, I've got all these resources that I'm just giving away for nothing. And the app world was kind of at the time sort of growing quite quickly, but of course becoming more expensive to build an app. So I thought, I better jump on board before that all is too much and I'll be a nobody. So, I spent my maternity leave just creating an app and trying to not at the time really knowing that I was creating a big business for myself, but more putting my hobby into something that I loved. So that's where it kind of spurred from, that I knew that I want to do this for me, and I'll just do it on my own to start with and have a go.
So you very casually say, I went and built an app. When I've spoken to people who've built apps in the past, there is normally a long trail of dead bodies, pain, money, except all those kind of things. Talk to me, what do you do day one when you go, right, I'm going to build an app?
It's a big, big beast. I'm not going to lie about that. At the time, I had no idea. I literally just thought, I'll just go and find an app developer and tell them what I want, and that's how it will happen. No, that is not how it happens and not how it did happen. I'm very detailed in everything I do. So I was very detailed on exactly what I knew the app should look like and how it should perform and what people should see. But then the tricky part came when I actually had to try and find an app developer.
Of all the people I've spoken to on this podcast, you're not the only one that problem has occurred to. So how do you, I mean, I'm interested to hear the process that you went through to solve that.
Well, I started I spoke to someone that knew someone that built apps. I didn't really know a lot of people. I knew a lot of people that built websites. That was not hard to find, but just finding someone to actually build an app was a bit more trickier. And what I was finding was everyone that I spoke to claimed that they built apps at the time. This is 2015, but they actually were people that were just starting to play in the app area, and they were actually website developers.
Right.
And website coders. So I went through so many people. I had some people priced me, telling me my app was going to be 20 grand. I had some people telling my app was going to cost me 500 grand to build. It was just crazy. Yeah. And I just had no belief in anybody that I met. It was crazy. So that process alone went on for me for two years.
Right, okay.
I moved from Adelaide to the Gold Coast. It still went on. I still met people that I just couldn't get what I wanted to do. Or say, oh, we could do that bit, but not that bit. So that for me was a massive learning curve.
Right.
That in Australia at the time, there just wasn't as many people as I was expecting to find to do what I wanted.
Okay. How did you solve that in the end? What was the outcome?
I was doing some contract work actually for a huge online hair and beauty company at the time, ry.com.au. And they had someone who was doing some work there also, and he just happened to mention to me that on the side he developed apps.
Right,
and I thought,
okay,
here we go. here's another person claiming to build apps.
Yeah.
And he actually did build apps, and he was actually very damn good at it.
Right, okay.
So I happened to find him just in a passing conversation in the kitchen. Yeah.
Is he still working on it, or is it sort of migrated? Yes. So he does that all for you.
He does, yes, he does that for me. Still, he's helped build my other online store, and he does all my updates. He's fantastic. They are fantastic, I should say.
Okay, so you've got the app up and running. One of the key questions that I obviously wanted to ask you was, how do you get more people using it? Where do you advertise? What's the, what's the process for you recruiting more users?
So it all really, for me, for my business personally, came down to the app store.
Yeah.
That at the start was the biggest thing for me. It was how I marketed within the app store.
Yeah.
There are other wedding apps that do other things, but it's like its own SEO engine.
Yeah.
So the way that you word everything within the app store, you have to ensure that you are constantly getting reviews, that you're constantly having people using the app.
Yeah.
That for me was the main thing. But at the beginning, I went out to as many people as I could find and said, I need you to test the app. Tell me anyone that's getting married. And I just brought as many people on board as I could to help push that forward. So that all then became a big email database.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And I think it started with 60 people that were just helping me to push the app. And it grew from there to tens of thousands of users.
Is that still how you do it? Do you sort of employ any other channels in terms of growth?
Oh, yeah, I do a lot of stuff. I do a lot of press releases. I push a lot on social media, LinkedIn, everywhere, any possible marketing tool that I can possibly think of. Mostly social media, because I find a lot of the big wedding directories and businesses don't actually want to help promote my business because I'm taking business away from them.
Yeah, you're stealing their traffic, aren't you?
So, correct. That is right. Yeah. Yes. But my number one driver is still remaining, if I'm staying number one in the app store, is the biggest driver for me still.
Let's touch on that then. What you mentioned, writing things properly, and what are some of the other things that get you to number one on there and keep you there?
Reviews.
Okay.
Are key to getting you high in the app store. The amount of downloads, the amount of productivity, so people using the app, people coming back to the app. As I said, SEO within that app as well, the words that you use, and also just the functionality of the app and making sure it doesn't crash. I've been very lucky in nearly two years. I've never, ever experienced a crash yet or a bug.
Yeah.
So extremely lucky.
yeah, absolutely. And looking at the reviews, you've obviously got a lot of reviews, a lot of five-star reviews. Obviously there's always the odd one or two gripes in there, and it probably makes it seem more genuine, actually, if there's someone having a gripe in there. Otherwise,
it's interesting in the app world. Most of the gripes are issues because people don't know how to use the app properly. It's not usually an app issue. It's people, or, you know, everyone has a personal opinion on if they like an app or not. And sometimes app's not for them, don't use it, move on. Yeah. But they don't, they prefer not to. But also responding to reviews is a huge thing that helps in the app store. You need to respond to reviews, and that really helps keep you in the top charts also. Many people get lots of written reviews, or lots of apps get written reviews and they never respond. And that's also a huge big driver.
I guess they're probably actually helping in terms of there might be things that you've potentially missed in the app that, you know, that they don't understand, or issues that perhaps were, you know, user experience issues that perhaps you could make clearer.
Yeah, definitely. They sometimes suggest something that you definitely is on your radar, but it just might not be the right time for you to actually update and develop that within the app yet. And it's not yet part of the marketing plan that you want to go down, but they don't realize that when they download the app that it just might not have that feature.
And I guess one of the other issues is that people are genuinely just assholes sometimes. So, you know, it's you know, you can't please all the people all of the time. So, you know, just accept that. And, you know, it's people that give one-star reviews to apps when they don't understand it, or they haven't really used it, or that kind of really – that would really irritate me if I had an app. And I never forget, the hotel I booked for my honeymoon when I got married 7-8 years ago – I should remember how long ago I got married, but let's hope my wife never listens to this.
Definitely.
But I remember reading the reviews of the hotel that we booked in Cancun in Mexico, and – it was five star, all the way down. And then there was a 1-star review. And the 1-star review was something like, oh, you know, the hotel was great, the food was great, the staff were great, you know, the pool was great, the weather was great, et cetera, et cetera, everything was great. So, but the hallway outside our, bedroom smelt a bit funny. And they'd given it a 1-star review based on that. And you just go, you know what? Those are the sort of people where I would find their name and never let them stay in my hotel ever again. You know, and I guess you just can't do anything about people like that, can you really?
No, you can't. And it's the same as, you know, Google reviews, Facebook reviews, my online store, reviews everywhere. There's just so many bad reviewers. But I've found it really a really good marketing tool now to also go, okay, that person, they didn't like that. So I'm just going to quickly jump on Instagram, and I'm actually going to do a story about that topic, not aimed at that person, of course, but around that topic, and explain to people how to use that part of the app. And then, you know, so you can kind of find those reasons to then make it a really good marketing tool for the day.
I'm going to try not to go off on a rant about a prospect client that we lost earlier this week, because they emailed me asking for honest advice about their business and their digital marketing. I gave them honest advice, and then they told me I was wrong and said they didn't want to hear from me again. I'm like, well, what was the point of asking for the honest advice then if you didn't want the honest advice? But anyway, I digress. Talk to me about how you monetize this, you know, the business, because were you thinking day one, here's how I'm going to monetize it? Or were you going, you know what, let's just build this, hope it works, and then I'll think about how I make money later on?
No, this was a big learning curve for me, because I didn't know a lot of people that had built apps, and I couldn't find a lot of people to talk to about apps at the time. I just thought in my mind, oh, I'll build an app and everyone will buy the premium version, which I do actually have a really high conversion within the App Store for, but I didn't realize how low conversions are. Like, an in-app purchase is like 1% to 2% of your users. Right. That's standard across an average across the board. I had no clue. I couldn't really find those statistics anywhere. So I just thought everyone's going to pay for premium, of course. And I just thought I would make money every month. And that was a huge realization for me that apps don't actually really make money. Right. And I can't keep going along like this. So I then thought it's time to monetize the database, and the first thing that popped to my mind was, oh, I'm going to build an online store. So let's go and do that. Had I ever done e-commerce? No. So I was trying a lot of new things, which I enjoy because it's a challenge. But, yeah, when you're going blind and you think you'll be absolutely fine, there's lots to learn. So that was the idea on monetizing the app, is to monetize the database as such.
So I guess the app really is a lead generation tool for you in terms of then driving people through to the store.
Definitely, yeah. So the app is my email marketing.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
So you've monetized it. I'm interested also to find out what sort of tools that you use in the background as a small business. This is kind of where I guess a slightly kind of nerdy tool thing, but you know, what do you use for email marketing? You know, how do you post to social media? You know, what do you what do you use for managing your tracking all your sales? Is it just using Xero or what? And perhaps is there any other tools that you recommend in terms of from a marketing perspective to help run the business?
So I use Shopify for my online store. I absolutely love that. Is fabulous software. Yep. Cannot recommend enough.
Lots of Shopify clients we have. So
That was the first thing I used and the one thing I've stuck with. I originally was using MailChimp, but then moved across to Klaviyo about 7 weeks ago. And wow, that is amazing. That's probably the best thing I've done yet. And probably my favorite software that I can highly recommend to everyone at the moment.
Explain to me why Klaviyo? Why did you pick that one?
So I did a lot of research to find out there was a little bit of a fallout at the time between MailChimp and Shopify and some of the things you could and couldn't do. And you could get a plugin, but I thought, it's time to actually do the research properly. And I did a lot of market research, and Klaviyo could do a lot more things that a lot of the others couldn't do. It's a lot smarter. It picks up your VIPs much easier. It picks up your repeat buyers easier. It helps you do better abandonment cart emails. Everything else is just streamlined for you. And if you don't know email marketing software easy, it's very good at teaching you as also. So it's been fantastic. It's an excellent tool.
What about some of the other stuff you use? Are you a Xero person or what's
that? I use Xero, I use Xero. I love Xero.
Is that all integrated with the website as well?
It is, but you do still have to do a little bit of manual work as well. But Xero is an easy tool. It's a great tool. It's something that I've always used. But Shopify reporting is a little bit tricky, so you do still have to manually do some things into Xero.
Okay. All right. You also mentioned earlier, I just want to touch on, you talked about the conversion rate. So, and you don't have to tell us this if you don't want to, but I'm interested to understand some of those conversion rates that you're looking at the moment in terms of, you know, numbers of people that, or conversion rate that would upgrade to the premium version of the app or, you know, what sort of conversion rates that you would get on as an online store. And I know, you know, there's a lot of very successful online stores running out there at 2-3% conversion rate, but it's always good to kind of see where other people are at.
Yeah, so my online store runs at a 22% conversion at the moment.
Okay, well.
Yeah, which is not too bad. And I think that comes down to those people that have already been using the app.
Yeah.
So you already have they already trust you. You've already got a little bit of a relationship with them. So I think it's much easier to try and sell to someone that's using a product of yours already. Really, that's just a repeat customer, I think. Yeah. Yes, they're not using another app, but they're still a repeat customer of Manage My Wedding.
What's your sort of top sellers on the store? What's flying out the door?
The flying out the door product for us is a Will You Be My Bridesmaid candle, Randall.
Oh.
it's such a big deal at the moment to wow the person that is going to stand by you on your wedding day. So that's our biggest driver, which is great because that's something they buy as soon as they get engaged because they want to spoil that person. So that's also another great thing because then they come back and buy something else later down the track when they're planning the wedding.
And I guess from an e-commerce perspective and a product perspective, how are you sourcing all these things? Because again, that's from an e-commerce perspective, I've met a lot of e-commerce retailers over the past sort of 6 months with a very different mix of where they get their products from and how they source them and whether they own them or whether they've manufactured themselves in China or Vietnam or blah, 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 blah. How is that working for you at the moment?
I have a big mix. Originally, I was going down the drop shipping avenue.
Right, yeah.
Which didn't work in the end. I just couldn't keep that level of customer service that I wanted to keep
Yep.
And I didn't have quality control and many other things. And brides are very, very picky with that sort of thing.
I can imagine, yes.
In the end, I scrapped it and I started again, and now I have a mix. So some things are, yes, I have manufactured as my own product and made in China, but a lot of my items are actually from other Australian suppliers.
Right.
So I try and support them as much as I can. If the price is right.
Yeah, of course, of course. How did you find the China experience of buying something, manufacturing it in China? Mm. Have you actually been there, or is it all through email?
At the moment, it's all through email.
Yeah.
And that I do plan to go over there, though, hopefully within the next 6 months, just to meet some of them that I've had a good experience with, because yeah. I've had some really bad experiences as well. But they're very good at providing samples, thank gosh, yeah. Because although samples are costly sometimes, they are a blessing.
Yeah, yeah. I've been looking at stuff from China for a long time, but it's breakdown in communication over email. The communication in email is never great. I really feel that if I just stood there in front of them for a couple of days, it would be a lot clearer and I'd build, you know, some better relationships. But mm-hmm. You know, yes. It's getting on a plane and doing that whole journey and et cetera, anyway. So
no, absolutely. And they you have to sift through a lot of the crap to get something really amazing at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, so last few questions for you. Brands that you like in the wedding space, who's doing it well in terms of, they might be a product that you sell on the website, there might be a venue, you know, something that you, a brand that you look to that does the whole wedding thing really well?
There's a few that I actually would say do it really well. I think that when you're looking at I'm going to go to the States now, but there is a company over there, The Knot, which I'm not sure if you've heard of or not, but they do weddings really, really well. They really capture the bride. They do their marketing well. They promote well on social media. They do everything it seems so slick. So great, great, great resource they are, The Knot.
Okay.
And they're a good one to follow.
Second to last question, what have you got planned? What's coming up next? Any sort of new parts of the app that you're releasing, new products on the website? What's the next stage for growth for you?
So we've got quite a few different plans, but we are adding products usually weekly at the moment to the store.
Okay.
And we are releasing an update actually within the next 2 weeks to the app. It's quite a big update. It changes how brides budget for their wedding and how they track their payments, and it just fine tunes that a lot more and gives them a lot more access to understanding where their money's sitting.
Right.
So it's quite a big update and quite a big change, which is exciting but also nerve wracking. and we also have some big plans in the next 18 months to do with some future another online platform in the wedding arena as well, which I cannot say too much about now.
Yeah, keep it close to your chest.
But watch this space.
Awesome. How long ago did you get married, just out of interest?
Oh, I got married in 5.5 years ago. I had to think about that.
Were you a bridezilla?
No. No. I've just written a really good blog, on bridezillas actually, because there's plenty of them out there.
I bet you see a few on the website and on the app, don't you?
Oh gosh, yeah, you see some crazy people, and you see some crazy mothers as well, in-laws and mums. Oh, I could tell you what they're crazy. But I was not a bridezilla, but I was very, I could say, probably controlling. I probably didn't let anyone do anything for my wedding. I did it all myself.
Yeah, sounds like my wife. No, anyway, moving right on. Okay, last question. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, if they want to ask you a question, they're interested in finding out a bit more about the business, what's the best way of talking to you?
They can find me on LinkedIn under Yvette Sitters.
Okay.
Or they can go to Facebook or Instagram and find me under Manage My Wedding, or go to managemywedding.com.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, and good luck with everything that you've got planned in the next 18 months.
Thanks so much, Simon.
that's pretty much it from me from episode number 76 on the Paper Planes podcast. Thank you very much for listening in. My name is Simon Dell. If you want to come and talk to me, I'm on LinkedIn. I am Simon Dell, or on Twitter, I am Simon Dell. If you would like to appear on the show, then give me a shout and email through to Sarah at flyatpaperplanes.co, and she will talk to you about how you go do that. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.